Hi, everybody. David Guzik here. So glad that you could join me for today's YouTube live session. It is Thursday, July 12th, I believe. In some of the social media stuff I put out before, I put June 12th. It's not June 12th at all. It's July 12th. And I'm here in my little office in the backyard of our home. And I'm here just to spend a little time responding to those who send in questions on the live chat. Or I'll respond to the comments as well. I did want to talk about just a couple things to begin with. First of all, a big thing happening with the website. You know, enduringword.com is the place where I have my Bible commentary. Now, that Bible commentary is also available absolutely free on blueletterbible.com, blb.org. You can find it there, where it's there at Blue Letter Bible, along with a ton of other amazing. The Blue Letter Bible site is a high caliber Bible research site, absolutely free on the internet. If you're not familiar with it, you need to go to Blue Letter Bible. But my commentary is at enduringword.com, Blue Letter Bible. It's also available on platforms such as BibleSoft, Logos, Mantis, and a few others. Anyway, on my own website, enduringword.com, I did a big step forward this week in the formatting. Hi, Cam Globe. Welcome to the chat. I did a big step forward, and that is reformatting the Old Testament biblical text to have its poetic format, as is proper there in the Bible translation, and to indicate the name Yahweh, High Witness for Jesus, and to indicate the name Yahweh by the capital letters L-O-R-D. So anyway, those kind of things might sound, I don't know, pedantic, kind of minor, who really cares all that much? I want you to know it's a big deal to me. Look, I'm happy to provide that free Bible resource on enduringword.com, but I'm also driven to improve it the best I can. It's a laborious thing. Look, it's a lot of material. The Bible commentary on there, if you put it all in a Word document, it would be more than 11,000 pages. But I love it. I love working on it. I love making it better. And it's really a lifelong process. I'm never going to be finished with it. Frank, nice to hear of you. It was great to chat with the conference. I had a wonderful time at the Calvary Chapel Association West Coast conference there in Diamond Bar, California over the last few days. And nice to hear from you too, Marco. Blessings to you, friend. Witness for Jesus is asking about the audio from 1st and 2nd Timothy. Yes, I need to add that to my website. The reason why it hasn't been added is we're in a bit of a transition with the audio structure on enduringword.com. And that transition has to do, Rajaviv, hello to you as well. Thanks for joining us. That transition on the audio has to do with also making the audio available on iTunes as a podcast. It's our goal to have all of our biblical book studies available that way. And so hopefully soon, I don't know, I'm kind of looking for a quiet week when I can work on some of those things on the website, putting up the audio from 1st and 2nd Timothy. So I hope that'll be up. I've got it up on the YouTube channel, on the video, and I hope to be adding more and more to the YouTube channel. I'm so glad you joined us. If you are just joining and haven't subscribed, please subscribe. And again, for the likes, look, I don't want anybody to think like I'm insecure and I'm like begging for people to like me. But what my internet guys tell me is that when you like this video or other videos, it just raises the visibility on the YouTube platform a little bit. So for whatever that's worth. Cam Globe's asking, was wondering when you get a chance to comment on the Word of Faith movement, if you can share your thoughts on it. You know, that's a great question, Cam Globe. And it reminds me of something that I just heard at this conference that we were at the last few days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Diamond Bar, California, the Calvary Chapel Association Conference, because the theme of the conference was faith. And one of the speakers, I want to say it was John Randall, but I'm not exactly remembering specifically. Thanks, Jim Calvary-Arlington, for liking that. Anyway, the theme of the conference was faith. And the idea, I think John Randall shared, was that, look, we don't want to act because of the abuses of the Word Faith movement. we don't want to act like there is no place for faith and believing God and trusting God for big things in the Christian life. There's a huge place for that. And we should be trusting God for that more and more. I believe that. I want to see God do more amazing things. I want to see more of the miraculous, not less. But I want to see the truly miraculous, not the made up or manipulated miraculous. Okay, in any regard. My analysis of the Word of Faith movement or the prosperity gospel or what do you say, I think that their greatest error is in what they don't say. Let me explain to that. Look, they're filled with errors. And one of the errors most egregious is their idea of the born again Jesus, where they actually go into the idea that Jesus died and went to hell and had to be born again in hell. Leave that aside just for a moment. In the big picture of their theology, I think the biggest problem is not with what they teach, even though there's problems with what they teach. The biggest problem is what they don't teach. And if you take a look at the theology of the Word Faith guys, and it was some years ago, but some years ago, I took a pretty good in-depth look at it. I don't know if much has changed in the last 10 or 15 years, but when I took a very close in-depth look at what I found is that they are almost completely without any theology of suffering in the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that if you take a look at the New Testament, I'm not dressing up, I'm just saying, if you take a look at the New Testament, forget about the Old Testament has lots too, but if you were just to take a look at the New Testament, you would see that there is a rich theology of suffering for the Christian in the Christian life. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about how we are appointed to affliction. The believer has an appointment with affliction. God uses affliction. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So that's kind of my first reaction, my first take on the Word of Faith movement, the prosperity gospel. Yes, there's problems with what they teach. No doubt about it. And we could go into those. But sometimes the greatest and most damaging errors of movements is what they don't teach. And if you leave out a biblical theology of suffering, you are not equipping people to live the Christian life, because they're going to face their own appointment with affliction, as Paul said. You're just equipping them to, or you're failing to equip them to handle that. So thanks, Cam Globe. Frank has a question. Would you mind commenting on the balance between choosing new and old songs in a church's worship catalog? How carefully would you be in choosing songs from theologically questionable sources? Okay, Frank, you make a great question on that, and that's a great thing. And let me just say, first of all, I respect the individual leading of a pastor of a church to understand what God would want for that congregation. So I have my own views. I have my own perspectives. But if a pastor of a congregation had views that were somewhat different for his own congregation, I would not contest that at all. For example, if a pastor said, listen, I just feel that for the next season in our worship life, God wants us to only do hymns or to never do hymns. I mean, whichever the case would be, I'm not trying to categorize it to just one thing. I'm just trying to say that however God might lead a particular pastor, I would respect that. Now, when you're talking about general principles as a whole, you're talking just a little bit differently. And this is how I would regard it is I personally like a mixture of old and new. I think sometimes I've seen worship sets and worship ministry at a church really basically become boring because everything's new and fresh. I think if all the songs you're doing have been written within the last 3 years or 5 years, I find that I like it mixed up. I love some of the contemporary modern Christian songs. Absolutely. I love some of the ones written 10, 15 years ago. I love, of course, many of the classic hymns. So I like having a mix of things in a worship set. But that's me. Again, I would respect the individual leading of a pastor or a ministry team at a church to understand how the Lord might be leading them specifically. And then you ask a secondary question there, Frank. How careful would I be in choosing songs from theologically questionable sources? Well, that's another good question. Again, I would fully respect a pastor who had a different opinion than my own, but I'll give you my opinion here. My opinion is simply this, is that I judge things by what it is in itself, not by necessarily the quality of the service. Now, I won't say that that extends to absolutely everything. Obviously, if something came from a heretical source, if it came, I'm not looking through the Jehovah's Witnesses catalog for worship music or the Mormon catalog for worship music. You understand that. But I'm just talking about within the body of Christ, if something came from a source that's a little strange, I'm willing to evaluate it on the work itself. And so if something not good comes from a good source, I don't want to use it because it's not good just because it came from a good source. If something good in and of itself came from a little bit of a funky source, I'm okay with that. Again, that's my personal persuasion. The best way I like to illustrate that is from a story not many people know. Many people know the story of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. I'm afraid I'm pulling a brain cramp right now on the author of that song. Who was it that wrote It Is Well With My Soul? You guys know. Anyway, it was a man who wrote it in the midst of tremendous personal tragedy. His Horatio Spafford, thank you, Mike Neglia. Horatio Spafford, he wrote that song in the midst of great personal tragedy. His wife and children were going to Europe, and then they were going to go to Israel to live in Jerusalem in the 19th century, and they went on ahead of him. He was going to go in a boat following. Their ship sank, and only his wife survived. And she sent him back a telegram saying, I survived the shipwreck, but I alone, all the rest of the children have perished. And in response to that great tragedy, Horatio Spafford wrote this wonderful song. And thank you for the name, Mike Neglia. Horatio Spafford wrote this wonderful song, It Is Well With My Soul. And it's a great worship song. I love singing that song. You should know, Horatio Spafford was a real weirdo. He was a crook. You know the reason why his family was on that ship and why he was on the ship following? They were running from the law. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago lawyer who had cheated people out of a lot of money, and he was fleeing. He was fleeing the law. He was fleeing his creditors. He was getting out of there the best he could. And then when they got to Europe and then to Jerusalem eventually, they started something over there called the American Colony. Their house is still there today. There's still the American Colony house in Jerusalem, and it has some of the Horatio Spafford stuff there and all the rest of it. Their house, the American Colony, it became something of a cult. Weird legalistic practices, weird, even some weird sexual stuff going on. It was weird. But you know what? It Is Well With My Soul. It's a great song. I don't mind singing it. Just because Horatio Spafford was a crook, something of a weirdo spiritually. Again, so I'm willing to judge the thing by the thing itself, and not necessarily judge it because it came from somebody who may be off in some of their doctrine or their practice. So, Frank, that's a long answer to that. And thanks for reminding me that that was John Randall who spoke about the importance of faith at that stage. I thought that teaching was great that he did. Witness for Jesus. I was a Jehovah's Witness. Now I'm a witness for Jesus. Hallelujah. My question is about door-to-door evangelism. Some Baptist churches are commanding this method to its church members as they use Acts 2:46 and 5:42, which speaks about the work of the gospel going house to house. Look, let me just tell you something about what my take on door-to-door evangelism. Thank you for the question. Door-to-door evangelism should just be judged in its cultural context. If there are open doors, if it can be effective, every one of us should have a missionary's mindset on how we can reach our community. You know, when a missionary goes from their own land to a foreign land, they're very aware of their culture and they're trying to think, what can I do to reach my community that will culturally connect? And what can I avoid that might be a cultural tripwire that I don't want to trip over and cause a problem? Well, the simple thing is this. We need to approach our own culture the same way. And if there are open doors, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I would say, try it in a community and if there's open doors. But if it seems that that's an ineffective or maybe even an offensive way to approach your community, then don't do it. But I wouldn't put some legalistic thing that we must go door to door. In preaching the gospel, I think if God opens such doors and if there's a blessing of effectiveness upon it, then by all means, we want to look for however God may be opening doors for us to reach our community, and we want to be right there in the midst of reaching. That's how I'd answer that. Calvary Arlington, Jim Jacobson, do you find it exciting that the Seattle Mariners, 58 and 35, wow, the Mariners are actually 58 and 35, are ahead of the Dodgers in the MLB standings at this stage? Well, I do find it exciting. And you know what? Listen, there's a soft heart, soft place in my heart for the Seattle Mariners. If you don't mind me and anybody from a foreign audience, I apologize for speaking American baseball just for a moment. There's a soft place in my heart for the Seattle Mariners because any franchise that has known such bitter disappointment over so many years, you just got to feel sorry for them. So I wish all the best, and I hope that the Seattle Mariners make it to the World Series this year, where they will be defeated by the Los Angeles Dodgers, God willing. But if you guys want to trade one of your best pitchers to the Dodgers, please do. Hagen Miller, I'm a 22-year-old and I'm the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Salmon, Idaho. The other day I was asked a question that I was not sure the answer. During the millennium, where are the angels? Hagen, it's great to hear from you and congratulations. I am happy to hear that there are young people stepping out and serving God in such exciting ways. I know there's a lot of people who would be more of the opinion, well, no, if you're young like that, you obviously haven't proven yourself. Go back, come back in maybe 10 years. Look, all I can say is I think it's wonderful when young people are serving Jesus and young people are being used of God, and pursue wisdom, pursue maturity with all your heart. But let me answer your question. During the millennium, where are the angels? The answer to that question is, biblically speaking, we don't know because the Bible doesn't speak to it. Hagen, let me just give you a simple principle. Never be afraid to just say the Bible doesn't speak to that. We really don't know. The Bible doesn't seem to highlight. Now, there are some people think, you know, the Bible says that we will judge angels. That's in 1 Corinthians. Maybe that happens during the millennium. Maybe. The Bible says that Satan, who is an angelic being, that he will be bound during the millennium. Matter of fact, that's part of what defines the millennium as a period, is that binding of Satan for that period of time. So, you know, but other than those few mentions of particular angelic beings, we don't know. So we're just kind of free to say, don't know. The Bible doesn't particularly speak about that. Frank Sanchez, how dare you, Calvary Arlington? Yes, and we love the Oklahoma City Supersonics too. Now that's, Frank, that's kind of cold because that's something for the Pacific Northwest to deal with, that they lost their NBA franchise to Oklahoma City. Gary Weaver, thanks for the book. Gary, I hope you enjoy those books. That story that J. Edwin Orr tells of the second evangelical awakening. By the way, if you're interested in that book, you can get it off of Amazon. You can get it on the Enduring Word website. I'm going to have it out in a Kindle version pretty soon. But man, I think it's an exciting story of the great revival that God did in the United States and in the United Kingdom in the middle of the 19th century. Some people called it the event of the century. It was such a remarkable work of God. Frank Sanchez is repenting for his cold comment about the Oklahoma City Supersonics or Thunder, whatever it is they're called. He says, at the conference the other day, the pastor's roundtable mentioned giving leadership books to their leaders in training. Are there a few books you would suggest? You know, some of the ones I would suggest have already been mentioned, but here are ones that are big on my list. Number one, The Jesus Style by Gail Irwin. Gail is a remarkable man with a wonderful message about the nature of Jesus. And if we as leaders and pastors and ministry people, if we need to know anything, we need to know about the nature of Jesus and try to live out the nature of Jesus in everything that we do. I strongly, strongly recommend that book's for anybody, but especially pastors and leaders. It'd be a good thing to read that book every year. Of course, Oswald Sanders, Spiritual Leadership. Now, it is Oswald Sanders, isn't it? Because sometimes I get Sanders and Chambers mixed up. But Oswald Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership, is a outstanding book. Can't recommend that enough. And then another one I like is by William Still, called The Work of the Pastor. An excellent resource. That was first recommended to me by Pastor Joe Foch from Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. And I'm so glad that he did recommend that book because it is an excellent short book on the heart and the workings and the ministry of the pastor. So, Frank, those are three just right off the top of my head that I would recommend. Again, number one, The Jesus Style by Gail Irwin. Number two, Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. And then number three, The Work of the Pastor by William Still. Witness for Jesus. I also prefer the New King James Version as my primary Bible translation. I wonder if you think the majority text is more reliable than the critical Greek text. I certainly believe in places it has it more right. I kind of reject a slavish reliance on any particular family of manuscripts. I think things should be judged on a case-by-case basis. And I also disagree, and look, I understand. I'm in the minority on this. If you want to disagree with me on this, please feel free, because I'm definitely in the minority on this. But I believe that you can put too much emphasis on the idea that the age of the manuscript automatically guarantees it to be the best manuscript. Believe me, it's one of the factors. I don't want to dismiss age into the whole mix of what makes a manuscript reliable or good. But I think it's one of several factors. The quality of the manuscript, the number of similar or like manuscripts so that they can be compared and cross-checked. I think all those are things that go into the mix. And I think sometimes those who receive or champion the critical Greek text, the more modern text, I think it's because they just think, well, if it's older, then absolutely automatically it has to be the best. And of course, it's an important factor. I just don't think it's the only one. So I think that these critical and exegetical questions from the Greek manuscript, that they need to be considered on a case-by-case basis. Sean's asking, hi, Sean. It was great to see you at that conference a few days ago. What do I think of the book Full Surrender? What do I think of that book? I republished it. It's a tremendous book. Can I show it to you again? Let me look for it back here. Full Surrender. This is the book that I had republished it's by the late Dr. J. Edwin Orr. You can get this on Amazon in print or in Kindle, or you can get it on the website enduringword.com. And by the way, for this book, look, I don't want to act like I'm trying to sell books here, but I love this book and I want it to get out. If you want to buy them in bulk, that is 20 or more, email me and I'll give you a great discount, basically at cost. I'm happy to sell these at cost if you buy them in bulk, because I love this book. I think it's a tremendous book for small groups to go through. It's a great book on personal revival. And again, I just think very, very highly of this book, and I'm happy for this book to get out. If you are interested in a bulk discount, 20 or more, let me know. Email me at, you can email me at david@enduringword.com, and I'll walk you through how to get those in bulk, because again, I just love it. So Sean, I hope that answered. Hi, back to you. Again, great to see you. Before we head off, and if a couple more questions come in while I'm sharing this, I just want to share something else. Wait, Frank just sent in a question. Frank said, what suggestions would you have for speaking at a retreat, perhaps versus your regular scheduled teachings? Frank, that's a great question. I think what you have to do is, if you're doing a regular teaching, a regular Bible study, youth group, men's study, Sunday morning church, whatever it might be, if you're doing a regular study, you're familiar with the setting, you're familiar with the environment, you're familiar with the people that you have there in the group, and that kind of familiarity is going to be new. So understand where you're speaking, how long you get to speak for, how long people will give you their attention, what resources you may have. Maybe you can hear the birds right outside my window right now. So be aware of your surroundings, because it just might be different. And apart from that, I don't think it's too different. Other than at a retreat, since it's what you're sharing is probably going to be in a series of several teachings, either that you'll do, kind of maybe you need to know what you're doing is a standalone or if it fits into the context of the rest of the studies. But as I said, most of anything, be aware of your surroundings. Ask yourself, where am I going to speak? To how many people am I going to preach? What environment is it going to be? Is it going to be in a circle? Are they going to be in pews? Are they going to be in chairs? Is it going to be outdoors, indoors? You know, again, just kind of get a feel for the environment so that you can just feel comfortable in it and most effectively taking advantage of that environment and communicate to people. So, Frank, that's what I would suggest to you. And have fun with it. It's a great privilege to be able to speak. It's amazing how God uses things like retreats and conferences. Look, I've seen it a dozen or 20s of times where you have this phenomenon where a pastor week in, week out in his pulpit ministry at the church. He'll teach something. And then somebody else will come along at a conference or at a retreat and teach something very similar to what the pastor taught. Everybody thinks what the guy at the conference or retreat said is amazing. And they're kind of forget. Well, listen, there's a special blessing when people come together for to seek God specially. And when people go to retreat, when they take the time, the expense, the effort to go to retreat, to go to a conference, don't be surprised that God moves in a special way, because God said, this is his promise, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So be blessed with that. Brian, I work on a construction site. What advice would you give on trying to minister to guys that just want to hear about sex and women? And when am I coming back to Calvary Chapel, Philly? Well, I got to say, Brian, first of all, let me answer that question. I'm happy to say that I'm coming to the Philadelphia area twice in the rest of this year. Once is to do an inner city ministry conference with the Rock Church down in the Kensington neighborhood of inner city Philadelphia, which is about as rough as it gets. But man, Buddy and Craig and those guys down at there at the Rock Ministries, they really got it going on. And I'm very excited about being a part of that inner city ministry conference. If you want to know about ministry in the inner city, that conference is in October, I believe. But just Google Rock Ministries Philadelphia, and you'll find, and I'm sure there'll be information that you can find about it. So I'm going to be there. And then also I'm going to be doing something for college students in a college outreach area on the first couple of days of November down in Philadelphia. So I'm excited about those two things. Anyway, yeah, Brian, I love those Rock guys as well. They're fantastic. As far as just how to represent Christ at just a secular site, first of all, I just think it's important that you just be natural, be yourself. Look, sometimes we just need to speak with unbelievers as if Jesus is a normal part of our life, because he is. Recognizing that they may not take it, but when they ask, hey, well, what'd you do this weekend? Or people are talking about what they do on the weekend. Don't be shy about, say, listen, guys, I know you're going to think this is weird, but man, I went to church or I went to this special meeting and I was so happy to do it. It was a wonderful time. And you can even say something like this. I'm not trying to bag on you guys for what you did with your weekend. You know, that's between you and God, and it is between them and God. Maybe not in the way that they think, but it is between them and God. And say, I'm not trying to bag on you guys for what you did, but I'm just telling you what I did and how much I enjoyed it. As much talk about Jesus being a normal part of your life, because he is a normal part of your life. So I would just recommend that general philosophy and pray for you guys, pray for the guys around you. And anytime you get a sense that they have any kind of need, something tough going on at home, some illness, just tell them, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Don't do it in this super spiritual, holier than thou kind of way. Look, nobody needs that. Nobody wants that. But just tell them you're going to pray for them and just be natural and very real about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Highness One. Wow, that's quite a title. The Highness One wants to know if I ever plan on coming to Houston, Texas. Highness, let me tell you, or maybe I should call you Your Highness. I don't really know. Highness, I've received a couple invitations to come out to Houston, Texas. The pastor of the Calvary Chapel out there has wanted me out there for a couple of times. It hasn't worked out for my schedule yet. Just the times that they have so graciously invited me to come out, I haven't been able to do it because of schedule problems. I look forward to when it does work out. And Pastor Jim from Calvary Arlington says, that's how I was won to Christ. Amen. Just that very natural environment of guys sharing the Lord, Jesus Christ, as a natural part of their life without this super spirituality or anything like that. I just want to kind of close with this. Something I've been doing on the website and on a email list that I started. I've got a few different email lists going on. And one of those email lists is for pastors, preachers, and Bible teachers. And my goal is, I've kind of been falling down a little bit in the last few weeks, but this week I sent one out. My goal is every 2 weeks to send something out, just a word of encouragement to pastors, teachers, and Bible teachers. This one I titled The Overflowing Heart. Look, if you're in ministry of any kind, I recommend go to the website enduringword.com. You can read about it under the blog menu, And you can also sign up for that idea of getting on the mail list for pastors, preachers, and Bible teachers. This week, I just talked about how when our heart overflows with good things in ministry, because sometimes we kind of speak as if it's always tough in ministry, and it's not always tough. Sometimes it's beautiful. Sometimes it's great. But even in those overflowing seasons, we should receive them with gratitude. But I like what it says in Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. And look, I know I'm spiritualizing it just a bit, but I to me, it spoke to me just to say, look, when things are overflowing in my life, don't forget the King. Keep your eyes focused on the King. So if you want to read about that, go EnduringWord.com, go into the blog menu, and you'll see the section for pastors, preachers, Bible teachers. If you want to subscribe to that email list, my goal is to send something out every 2 weeks, just a brief devotional thought. If you're interested in that, sign up. So excited about learning NetHound TV. So super excited about learning and fellowship with you next week. Hey, you're going to be at the Expositor Collective in Aurora, Colorado. NetHound TV, make sure you introduce yourself to me. I'm so happy that you're going to be there. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful session. And I know another guy online right now, Mike Neglia, he's going to be there as well. And man, Mike, it's going to be great to see you and NetHound. Anybody else that join us for the Expositors Collective. Thank you to everybody for contributing today. But a few other questions coming. Okay, I'll deal with these the best I can. Brent, thank you for joining us. Brent wants to know, just wondering your thoughts on cannabis. I realize the Bible says to be sober, but if God made weed, why is it restricted? Please, I've got a message on this. If it's not up on my YouTube channel, I'm going to put it up in 2 days. So in 2 days, check my YouTube channel, this channel that you're listening to, and I'm going to have a message that I did about marijuana and the Bible and the Christian. And it'll give you my thoughts in a fuller way. I think, look, that even though the Bible absolutely condemns drunkenness and intoxication, you can make the argument that the Bible does allow, it does not prohibit moderate use of alcohol, because someone can use alcohol moderately without becoming intoxicated. Now, look, I'm not going to get into the whole thing about alcohol and those who are called to Christian service and all the rest of it. That's a topic for another time. But let me just say this. Marijuana is substantially different. The goal with marijuana is intoxication. So that's a fuller discussion to have another time. But I've got a teaching on that, that if it is not up on the website, on the YouTube channel right now, look for it in 2 days and it'll be posted up there. Brian says, thank you, Dave. That's what I was wondering, but I wanted input person. As a teacher, thank you again, Yurig. Do you watch BBC Doctor Who? No, a Doctor Who is a weird show. I don't know why people are watching Doctor Who. I don't get it. Other questions, did Bush do 9/11? No. Yes, Witness for Jesus. You should add video sermons from conferences on your YouTube channel. Ah, that's a good idea. You know, I got to get access to that video, and then I could put it up on the YouTube channel. And then thank you, Payday 2 player, for that final Rickroll. We'll end with that. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to all the people who donate and support the ministry of Enduring Word. It is so appreciated. It's making a big impact, I think, in the world. And I'm very grateful for your support for that. So God bless you. Next week, plan on being on Thursday at noon. And I'm happy to do it again. Thursday at noon will be our regular time. If I can't do it on that day, then maybe we'll skip a week, or maybe I'll do it on Friday or whatever. But next week, Thursday at noon, my schedule looks good, and we'll do it there. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.